Oh, yeah, it's hour number two of the program. Joel Nelson in the hot seat for you at 412-928-9370. Mark that number down and call it. That's our fan hotline. It's also the fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.com. And our show brought to you by number one Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at cochran.com. Join us for the number one Cochran Sports Showdown each and every Sunday night at 11:35. We always have a lot to talk about there. Thank you to PNC Bank. Make today the day. Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman. They got your back, not your wallet. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call, and Iron Rock Tap House as well. Hey, listen, I asked for your calls. You give them to me. I appreciate that. We have a lot to get into. I kind of laid things out in the last hour, but it's wide open, and I don't want to hesitate any longer because I respect the fact that you guys wait and you want to get on. So thank you for that. Let's go out first to Rob in Monroeville. What's up, Rob? How are you?
Hey, good morning, Bob. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Hey, happy Easter to you and your family.
And happy Easter to you, too, and everyone out there driving around. Hope it's a wonderful and blessed holiday for you.
Amen. Hey, getting back to this fella that called a little while ago about the pitch clock. He's out of his mind. I mean, it has improved the game so much as far as the fan experience. And I was just in an account the other day of mine doing business and, you know, had my Pirate shirt on opening day and, you know, said about the game and asked the guy if he's going to be listening to the game or watching the game. And he said, yeah, I started again last year because I quit for years because I couldn't take it anymore. Guys stepping out of the box, adjusting their gloves, grabbing themselves, all the stuff that they yeah. do, you know, and kicking their shoes right. and, you know, kicking their spikes with their bat, you know, all the little, I mean, I added a minute every time they did that crap. And, you know, and what was the actual time down per game last year? Probably like 40 minutes.
It's like 39 minutes, I think, the official tabulation. That's a lot of time. That's a big
awesome.
Difference.
I mean, it's awesome. I mean.
Now, let me ask you this real quick. I understood why they put the guy leading at second base in extra inning. I don't like that, though.
No.
Some people do, but I'm not a big fan of it.
Keep playing the game. I mean, if it takes 25 hours to play a game, so be it. I mean, you know, it's nice to see, you know, the moves that the coaches make with the pitching, you know, the whole nine yards. They should just keep playing the game. You know, and that's one of the reasons why I can't stand pro football anymore. I can't watch it. It takes too long to kick off. 10 minutes of commercial.
Well, we got new rules in the kickoff, Rob. I got to move along, but thank you for your call. I appreciate it.
Definitely.
That happened this week as well, where they're going to use some of the U.S. Or the XFL rules, which why not? I mean, they need to try to encourage kickoff returns. And we saw that Cordero Patterson, who's number one in the NFL in terms of touchdowns on kickoff returns, including one for 109 yards. Yeah, he's older at 33, but he knows how to do it. That could be a big advantage for the Steelers. They need every advantage they can get in that sort of game. But it's you got to get used to that formation. The kicker kicks off where he normally does, but you got the guys on his team line up at the opposing team's 40, and then the receiving team's players line up between the 30 and 35, and you can't move until the ball lands into the landing zone, which is the 20 to the goal line. And if it doesn't, then the ball goes to the 40. If it goes into the end zone, you can return it or take a knee. When you take a knee, it goes to the 30. A lot of different moves, and it's a one-year trial. We'll see how it goes. Let's go to Cole in Monaco, who joins us right now on the Bob Pompeiani Show. Cole, what's going on today?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
But I just want to – I'll just say it straight up. I don't really think Andrew McCutchen should be batting in the four hole for us this year.
I agree.
And thank you. And me and my dad have been saying it since last year, and I just think that he might have, you know, should have went out on top last year. I was there when he got the 2000th hit. I went to a ton of games. I've seen he was batting pretty well at the beginning of the year last year, but I think the second half of the year, it was kind of showing he might be done. And I think we might have made a mistake not going for a DH or looking for someone to fill that DH role in the offseason maybe.
I think, Cole, yeah, that he, you know, first of all, if he had hit his 300th home run, I think he may have retired. I don't know that for sure.
I agree.
Andrew's
I
a wonderful person and somebody who should be remembered as one of the best Pirates ever, given what he did during that time.
But, absolutely.
But, and I still would have him on this team. It's just that I wouldn't, he wouldn't be my everyday DH. And I wonder significantly if he's ever going to play in the field at all this year. It may be a game or two here and there, but, you know, I'd rather get a bigger bat in that situation. He has a very keen awareness of the strike zone. That's all good. But I agree. I tend to think that on days that Henry Davis does not catch, he should be the DH. Yeah.
I 100% agree with everything you said.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it, Cole, and we'll see how that goes. But hopefully he gets his 300th home run, which would be a tremendous feat for him. Ken in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hello, Ken. What's going on?
Hey, Bob. I like this Pirates team. And we've got a nice lineup, strong relievers, and I believe that in 2 months our rotation is going to be Skeens, Jones, Mitch, and then you're going to see Perez, the number four guy. And my guess is either Hermain or Lauer is going to be your number five guy.
You mean Bauer?
So this rotation. No, I'm talking – what's that guy starts with an L? He's at AAA right now.
Eric Lauer. I thought you meant Bauer. Yes. We were talking about Bauer earlier, so you're talking about Eric Lauer. Okay, I get you.
Yeah, I don't need anybody like Bauer in the clubhouse. But I think this rotation is going to be very good 2 months from now, and it'll be a real nice rotation if everybody, pitches up to their capabilities. And
yeah,
if they do
hey,
that
– listen, it's about ifs – with that rotation, Ken, right? Too many times we go into seasons with too many ifs with them. I think they're closing the gap. I do think our previous caller who said the National League Central may be better than people think, that could turn out to be true, but I do think it's the weakest of the divisions in the National League. So I think if you're going to win a division, this would be the division to be in. So can they do it? I don't know. It's 2 games. I saw 20-8 last year. I saw what it turned into. So I think you got to temper all of this because it is a long, long season. But if Hayes and Cruz are out there every day, the left side of the infield, that's a lot of offense they can give you. I think Triolo's going to show you some pop in his bat, and he's a nice option at second. Tellez and Connor Joe, if they can combine to hit 25 home runs, that would be nice. And I think Henry Davis, I'm glad to see he's catching, and he will be your everyday catcher. I wonder what's going to happen when Grandaldo gets in healthy again.
I think they should trade Grandal. We don't need him. I mean, they said
you'd
did
get
a good
nothing
job
for him. He's a guy who's, he's just there for insurance. And, I don't mind him on the team. It's just I did not want him to start over Davis. So I got my wish.
I don't think that's going to happen anymore.
All right, Ken.
But
appreciate it. I got to move along. I appreciate the call from Charlotte. Thank you. Let's go out to John in the car, who wants to talk about a man who was just traded, JT Brubaker, who I thought might be, after the All-Star break, someone comes up and helps the Pirates. Now he's a Yankee.
Hey, good afternoon, Bob. Before I get to Brubaker, I just want to mention, as we've discussed, starting a rotation is key. But today's a huge day for Buccos fans with Jones making his debut. And Skeens is actually pitching at Indy today, I believe.
Yes, so, he is, 2 o'clock.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. But in regards to Brubaker, he was a serviceable pitcher. And it was somewhat of a head scratcher. I know he wasn't going to be back until maybe mid-season, All-Star break or so. But I can't imagine they got much of a haul in return. But Bob Smizek had an interesting tweet this morning saying that his salary was about $2.2 million. So, it's kind of curious why they would dump him. Why not a team looking for pitching? Why not wait and see what he has when he returns?
That's because the player to be named later is Juan Soto. You didn't know that, see? And the Pirates will immediately sign him to a 10-year, $1 billion contract. You've missed that?
You need to tweet that out, Bob.
Yeah, right.
Hey, one other quick thing. Why in the world is Bailey Falter in the starting rotation? I mean, I know he's a lefty, but come on. Let's just go with
Priester. They got a lot of lefties. I would have gone to, I said earlier, Josh Fleming is a guy they acquired. He pitched last night. He's a lefty, too. I would have deferred to him, but Quinn Priester's another guy to watch. I'm glad you brought his name up, John. He hopefully he'll get it and force them to make some moves with him.
Exactly.
All right. Thanks, brother. Appreciate the call. Happy Easter to you. Let's go out to Guy in California, Pennsylvania. Guy, what's up?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, Bob.
Sure.
Hey, listen, I know it's a little early to have a post-mortem on the Penguin season, but But this team's collapse after the All-Star break, it was incredible. You know, lots of teams are leaking oil right now, whether it's the Panthers, the Flyers, with only 3 wins, you know, in the last 10 games or so. But the Penguins, I mean, 3 of their 4 wheels came off. When you look at the month of March, I'll be quick here, Erik Karlsson, 15 games, 0 goals, 3 assists, plus minus 8. Letang, by comparison, is Paul Coffey. He's had 1 goal, 4 assists, and he's a -5 plus minus. So one last statement here. You know, the Pens, if you're depending on a fast game, you know, in this team, despite having the oldest and one of the smallest teams in the league, it doesn't help if you don't have anyone who can't crash the net. And if you don't, these results are predictable.
Yeah, I agree with that, and you're right. They doubled down on something they really didn't need, and they were all wide-eyed and bushy-tailed because they got the Norris Trophy winner, 3-time Erik Karlsson, who just added age and a leaky part of his defense. He's not been what I expected him to be. I thought he would be better, but the bottom line is they're stuck with him now. They got rid of some contracts. I think the Penguins have not adapted to what they've really become, which is a slower team. Therefore, you have to show you can win other ways. You can't just keep putting your pedal to the metal when you can't outrace other teams. And I think generally that's what's happened. Are they capable of still dominating good teams? Yeah, they have. And they did. Even in Colorado, they built a lead, and they were the better team for half of that game, and then they completely fell apart. Like Carolina here on the Jake Guentzel return. They show you they can win with those teams. But over the course of a long season, they're just not built to compete with some of these younger teams, I think. And therein lies the problem now. What do you do if you're Kyle Dubas? Because he wants to be competitive. They're going to bring back their stars because they still have marquee value and they result in ticket sales. But they have to get younger and they have to figure out new ways to do it. I'm finally glad Drew O'Connor's got a legit opportunity and showing you what he can do. There are others in their system. They brought Sam Poulin up. He needs to show something at this point. And people like that guy, you know what I'm saying? It's time. Right, but right. I don't know how you acquire it. You're going to save some money in the cap. When Carter leaves, that saves you money. You can maybe trade, you know, I don't know if you can trade Raquel at his price, but they shouldn't have given him that money. You know what I'm saying? They're going to have to – Dubas is going to be under a lot of pressure this offseason.
It's going to be tough, too, because both Letang and Malkin have a no-trade contract. So you can't – you know, you're going to have to keep the main –
Well, pieces. You can ask them if they would consider moving or if it's, you know, something they think about. You can do that. It doesn't hurt to ask, does it?
No, but I think what happened – just one last statement. I think what you saw is psychologically this team is very fragile. You know, they had Vegas on the ropes. Vegas came back early in February.
Right.
Vegas came back and beat them. Then the next game against Arizona, they had a blooper reel material at Arizona. And then, you know, you saw what happened against Vancouver. The wheels just came off on this team, and it's going to take, you know, God bless Crosby. He's doing his best, but it's going to take some other leadership in that room. And it's unfortunate, you know, I think Guentzel would have been a good piece because at least he was in front of the net. Now Bunting looks interesting because
Well, Bunting is a guy who's not afraid there, guy. Thanks for the call, too. Appreciate it. But, yeah, I like Michael Bunting. I just hope the other guys they got will show in time that they're capable of being NHL players. Ken and McCandless, before we go to our update with Joel Nelson. Hey, Ken, what's up?
Hey, Bob, thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to commend you for your patience with that Greg guy that was on a few calls ago, the one that got into the pitch clock eventually.
Greg is a passionate guy. He's angered a lot. I get it. I'm pretty patient, though. I've learned patience is not just a virtue. It's a necessity, especially in this business. So I'm good.
Yeah, I understand. You can recognize the Pirate haters when they – and he just had that – they have that agenda. You can tell when they first start the call. And for him to say that the Pirates pitching staff is garbage, and then when you challenge him on it and said, what about Jared Jones? He says, well he's 22. And, it, you know, they have no logic. They just have this hatred. And, you know, there's other people, too, that have the hatred of nothing. And
well,
you can disagree all you want, but you don't need to be hateful about it.
No, I won't use the word hateful. I think frustrated and angered. Because it's the same stuff, and until proven differently, I think people should have that reaction. I don't have a problem with that at all, because I've been one of them. I don't like how they refuse to spend some dollars when the dollars are available, and they don't have to be big-time 8-year, $200 million contracts. I'm talking about what I saw from Jordan Montgomery, what I saw from Blake Snell. That's doable for a team like Pittsburgh. That doesn't mean you're going to keep them here long term or maybe even beyond this year. But you can bring those guys in if you smell an opportunity to compete in this division. Why wouldn't you do that? 1 year, $25 million? Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on those. And on Brubaker, I think one thing with him is if you look back on the history of that the Tommy John, they come back in 14 months, 16 months, but really 2 years are blown away. They're never effective when they first come back. So I think that's what they were thinking. He's not going to help them this year, and then he's going into arbitration again, and they just figured maybe they'll get something for him now, and maybe they won't keep him, and he's not going to build up his value this year. Yeah. That's why they did that.
And we'll find out. He'll eventually pitch for them. We'll see what he does on a very good hitting team. Thanks, Ken, from McCandless. Joel, I'm going to squeeze in Jambo because I don't want to let him hang in. He's been waiting for 14 minutes, and he is in Hopwood, and he's hopping on the fan hotline right now. What's up, Jambo?
Hey, first-time caller here. Thanks.
Appreciate
for taking it.
I like my friends up in Hopwood, Pennsylvania. It's a good area.
Oh, thanks. Hey, okay, I tell you what I got. I got the lighter side here. I got three nicknames I'm going to throw at you, and then I want to ask a question, okay?
Okay.
Okay, yeah, the first one's about you. Mr. Bob Pompiani, the potentate of Pittsburgh sports. How do you like that one?
Keep going.
Okay, clipboard Kenny, and I don't know if anybody's ever said this one, but Deontay dropped some.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that before, and we'll see what he does there with his new team. Jambo, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
One more thing. Did Ron Cook retire 1 month too early or what?
What do you mean 1 month too early? Why?
Well, look what all's happened in Pittsburgh sports here in the last
month. One of the reasons why he wanted to retire. I think he's done it for all these years. He's enjoying it. I talked to him last night. He's out walking every day. I know he had dinner with Starkey, who's playing golf down there and getting more frustrated by the round. So he's enjoying life, and you get to a point where that has to be top priority. Jambo, thanks for the call. Appreciate it, man. I'll let him know you said hi. 412-928-9370. I want to remind you, on your way to work and want to keep listening to Adam Crowley and Doran Dickerson after you park the car, are you trying to get caught up on the latest news during your lunch break with Joe Starkey? Do you want to stop listening? No. For Pony and Muller, once you pull in the driveway with the Odyssey app and odyssey.com, you can just download the app and visit odyssey.com. Search 93.7 The Fan and click on our shows. Download the Odyssey app today and get started. We'll take a break, come back with more. Joel Nelson has an update. More calls until 1 right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Light rain moving into the area right now. It's going to be spotty here and there. Shouldn't be a deluge in any way, so I'm trying to be optimistic for all you golfers out there ready to go and make the trip to the course. Hey, just, you know, everyone has that weather gear that no one seems to wear, just like umbrellas. Joel, I don't know about you. I have like 30 umbrellas, all nice ones, but I always seem never to use them, even when I'm walking in rain. Like, if it's a short distance, I'll just do it. What's the point of having so many umbrellas? What am I doing? I'm a hoarder.
That's one where you need just like, yeah, probably maybe two or three. I guess if one of them breaks, you got a backup one. But yeah, definitely not 30. I know that.
I've had some go inside out, you know, with wind. You know how
that's just annoying.
Yeah, it's annoying. It's really hard to get it back too. 412-928-9370. We have a doubleheader of basketball on today. The Elite Eight. We're down to that. Three ACC teams in that Elite Eight. Illinois against UConn, no ACC team there, but UConn is a team looking to repeat. And honestly, they seem to be better, than any team out there. Again, by far, they're 8.5-point favorites over Illinois, and that's the team that took Duquesne out of this tournament. So you're in a situation there where who knocks them off? The one thing I'll say about Duke, and I believe this to be true, is that they have not gone into the transfer portal for their players. They have most all recruited by them, developed them, and now playing with them. And they'll take on NC State tomorrow, the darling team down there. So while you seem to rely, most teams, on transfers, and there's a lot of them out there, UConn has a couple of them. Their guards, I believe, are both transfers, but they're really good players. You don't have to do it that way. You can still develop. So we'll see what happens. For whatever reason, NC State is on this unbelievable roll. And I'm telling you, their season was in peril there for a long time. It looked like their coach would be fired. He was on the hot seat. It looked like you know, they were going to be eliminated even before they had a chance to get the automatic qualifier from the ACC. They trailed Louisville at halftime 2.5 weeks ago, Joel. And at that point, their head coach was on a hot seat. Potentially, their season was over in 20 minutes if they had lost that game. But they came back and since then have won 8 games in 17 days. That includes the ACC tournament where they won the automatic bid. The coach who was on the hot seat got a raise and an extension. So that's what happens when you win in these situations. It also tells you to be patient, which some teams aren't. But, they got hot. How many teams have gotten hot in this part of the year? And if you get – see, the automatic qualifier is important. Duquesne got it. I don't know if they would have been in. And that hurt Pitt because too many teams that got them weren't expected to get them, and it knocked some people out. So the bottom line is – load up what you can. I still think Pitt got jobbed. I'll remain that way, but, I mean, you can't belabor the point. It's over and done with, so that it is. Anyway, Clemson and Alabama. Clemson's playing very good. That's a game today, 3.5-point spread for Alabama. UConn's an 8.5-point spread over Illinois. So we'll see about that. But Clemson's another team that has gotten hot at the right time. They have a good chemistry. NC State, man, they just, everything works through DJ Burns, the big dude in the middle. And every time he got the ball here in Pittsburgh at PPG Paints Arena, everyone said, they're making noise. They knew he's got quick feet. But last night, I thought Marquette had the proper defense to stop him. He only scored, can you check how many points he scored? I don't think he had many, Joel. But, I expect him to be a double-double guy. That's what he's been doing. However, Marquette, every time he got the ball, collapsed around him. But what that did was opened up space for other guys. And what those other guys did were bury shots, Horn specifically. But he was really good with his passing, recognizing where an open guy was. And it's difficult to pass when you have a couple of guys behind you and trying to stop you from doing it. A very, very good vision. So what did he have? Did you find out?
Yeah, DJ Burns had only 4 points, just 4 field goals. He did have 7 assists.
That's what I mean. His assist total, you don't expect, but he, and
it
I'm telling you.
Led the team by a wide margin.
Some of those assists, Joel, were incredible. It's like he's got hands all around him, and he's threw over it to the other side of the court. I mean, really good work by DJ Burns.
Kind of thing you see from Nikola Jokic,
Yeah, you do.
For a center.
How about, by the way, Wembanyama? What he's been able to, you talk about a guy who's just developed so fast in front of your eyes. When he first started this season, he was frail, I thought, just trying to figure out what he had to do. Now, he's coming off, I think, a 40-point performance with 20 rebounds. He's 7'5", but the dude can dribble. He can shoot. He can run the court. He could be a guard. So San Antonio's got a big-time player there, but they still lose with Greg Popovich. I think it's time for him to move on, too, just my opinion. Let's go to Kevin in the North Hills, who joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. What's up, Kevin?
Hi, Bob. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Chris Mad Dog Russo, he's got a syndicate. Yeah, he triggered me yesterday because he actually had mentioned that he thought Pitt should have been in the NCAA, which I obviously 100% agree. So I gave him a call and he was completely on board with teams that play hot at the end of the season that are playing well at the end of the season should get an increased consideration for a bid, which was, Pitt all the way.
And I've said that all along too. I don't care about November. This committee compares end of year against tough competitors when you're dealing with, elimination situations versus November. Come on.
Yeah, and the two freshman guards, I mean, it took a while for them to get their feet wet, get used to the college game. And you saw by the last half of the season, our guard play with those two guys and Leggett was really, really good. And, I think obviously that's what propelled them to have such a good finish. And that needs to be taken into consideration. I mean, it's ridiculous. 3 out of the 8 teams are from the ACC, and yet this selection committee and the so-called experts were downplaying the strength of the ACC?
Yeah, I at the time it seemed like an easy thing to do. But when you see them in these situations, again, I brought up the Mountain West, for example. I heard all these people telling me about all these great Mountain West teams. Well, they went 4-6 in this tournament. They have nobody in the Elite Eight. I get it. They're trying to make it so that all these teams have access to this tournament. And that's what the madness actually is, only the first 2 days to me. That's when you get upsets. That's when you get stories that people love. And I get it. They want those stories. They get it. People get involved. I understand. But ultimately, don't you want the best teams And I know there's no specific way. There's no specific way to come up with an ironclad way of getting them in. But I would put much more emphasis, Kevin, to your point, on late season versus early season.
Yeah, and isn't it ironic that we beat NC State twice and we beat Duke at their place?
At their place.
And now they're both in the Elite Eight.
Yep. Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate the call at 412-928-9370. And do we have any Hawaiian music for our next caller? Because anytime you go to Kevin in Honolulu, where it's about Meli Kaliki Maka all year, he joins us right now all the way from the islands. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, Bob. By the way, you don't need that umbrella to walk out on the Sony Open course today. It's nice, Bob.
Thanks, Joel.
79 and a slight breeze coming off the ocean.
Are you playing?
No, not today. I'm still recovering from a couple surgeries. I can't swing yet, and I'm too competitive to get out there unless I'm going to, you know,
yeah, I
get
hear
around
you. Well, take your time. Sit on your lanai and have a Mai Tai.
Exactly. Hey, real quick. So, I mean, you just highlighted it with Pitt. At, you know, 12-15 over the at the end of the season, beat North Carolina State twice and Duke at Duke. And instead we got Virginia, Boise State, Colorado State, et cetera, that got into – I mean, the committee could not have done a worse job. That being said – especially in a transfer portal age, the stupidity of how you play late in the season versus early in the season not being a factor is just that. It's stupid. You're in the transfer portal window now, and so it's going to take teams, you know, that first 2 to 3 weeks, maybe a month, to really settle into who they are and to get things in order.
Totally.
Which is what happened to Pitt.
Right.
And so you see a team like North Carolina State that is on a roll, and guess what? It's a hot team that's on a roll. And then you see what happens when a team's not on a roll. I mean, North Carolina got in the tournament, got a high seed, but they really weren't playing great, you know, in the ACC tournament and down the line. And Hubert Davis, that's one of the worst coaching jobs I've ever seen in the history of the NCAA, to let Davis keep chucking the ball, going 4-for-29 in that game to knock North Carolina out of the tournament. It was horrific. So
yeah.
Pitt should have been in. Pitt would probably still be playing. But bottom line is, the nice thing about the tourney is I can watch the tournament from the beginning to the end and thoroughly enjoy the entire thing. It's not like the NFL playoffs where if the Steelers, as usual, are not in or they lose immediately, I'm frustrated to a certain point and don't want to watch some of the playoffs. Even if Pitt's not in, I can watch the tournament all day long, every day.
Kevin, I agree. And what you said at the beginning is another reason why, if you're going to embrace the transfer portal as it is, then you need to consider that when you're making an evaluation about a team. When you have all these new people coming in, it's not just Pitt, it's others. It takes time. You can't just expect them to come out hot in November. They're normally trying to figure out who they are, what roles they play, and that should be a big part of this. Virginia is another team that should never have gotten in, and I say that only because I saw how they played. I saw what they did. I saw Pitt beat them at their place. I saw they can't score more than 40 points a game, and that's on a night where they're shooting a lot. It's not a team, other than you like Tony Bennett because he's won before. It seems like that was it. It was a legacy pick for them, no other reason.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, Kevin, I don't know what happened to you. Anyway, Meli Kaliki Maka. It's not Christmas, but that's the only thing I know about Hawaii. So that's my Hawaiian phrase for you. 412-928-9370. I hope you enjoy and recover from your injuries. We're due for a break. We got to take it right now. Also want to remind you that we want to say thank you, Pittsburgh, for your generosity. Amazes us every year. We see it on TV with the Free Care Fund, how that works at KDK-TV. And, man, it's unbelievable the support we get. Well, it's true here, too, at Odyssey. Thanks to all who are able to provide 270,000 meals for the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank through the Giant Eagle Feed the Need Radiothon. Thanks to our friends at Spitzer Toyota, Bill Few Associates, Wealth Management, Hampton Beer Outlet, Pittsburgh Regional Transit, Dollar Bank, Wiggle Whiskey, all their support. You can still support them by purchasing a Feed All Yins shirt, Feeding All Yins shirt, I guess it is, from our friends at Steel City, or texting NEED, N-E-E-D, to 50155. Thank you again. We'll be back with Ryan in New Jersey next, right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Rounding third, heading home, and I don't know what the sign is. What are they doing? Sending me at home. I'm dead on arrival. That's been the Pirates' story on the base paths. Hopefully that'll change, but it does not impact them in their first two games. Even though they made some of those mistakes, they're 2-0. And they'll play again today at 4. Dan Zangrilli will be around with the bet, the North Shore Tavern leadoff show coming up. That's at 3. And then Jared Jones goes at 4, his major league debut. Paul Skeens is pitching in Indianapolis today. That'll be at 2 o'clock. We'll see how he does. So a big day to evaluate some of these young Pirate pitchers. In the meantime, I want to thank our sponsors once again. PNC Bank, Number One Cochrane, Shendorovich, Shendorovich and Fishman, Ireland Contracting, and Iron Rock Tap House in Greensboro. Right now, we're going out to New Jersey. We got Ryan on the line. Hello, Ryan. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, Bob. Real quick. Normally, the comments of the seven-figure aggrieved athlete don't penetrate the shields at all, but I really didn't like what Jake Ensel was saying to the Penns Press the other night. I wanted to know what you thought of it, because I just...
Were you talking about that he had plans, he wanted to be here? Is that what you're talking about?
And yes. I thought it was good. I mean...
Well, it deserved a follow-up question. The follow-up question should have been, Jake... Was it strictly money? How much did you want? How much did they offer? And then he would have said nothing.
I know. That's what put me, because he's like, I wanted to be here. And he looked real, like, aggrieved. And I'm thinking, like, bud, I know Toronto messed up the salary cap again by giving guys $12 million. But you're not getting $10 million to play on that team with their cap situation and with the age of their core. I just thought he looked really bad. I mean, I think he could have handled it. I mean, I know it's tough. They're in a tough spot. He just got traded. But I think he could have handled that a little bit better.
I was waiting for the follow-up question. I would have said that. Okay, what was the difference? Why didn't you? Was it legitimate interest on their part? What was the separation of money? I mean, if you're going to answer these questions, then that has to be part of that equation, because I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I know. They needed the heel there. Where's Rob Rossi when you needed him, is what I was thinking. So
at that point, it was over and done with. I thought the question about would you come back is one that should have been asked also, and it was asked. Whoever asked it, but, you know, would you consider coming back to Pittsburgh? And he should have said, listen, I'm just going to – and he did say this. I'm just playing this year. I like it in Carolina, blah, blah, blah. That's what you're supposed to say. He could have taken the high road there and said, look, we just didn't come to terms. I understood what we were doing. Whatever he said, but that was his answer. So
he said they had other ideas, which sounds like it wasn't me, it was them. I mean, when you're talking about a cap sport and you're talking about a situation where they are – that's not accurate. It's not, you know, it wasn't me, it's them. That's just not, and that was a two-way street. If they never got a conversation off the ground, it's because there was a five-second conversation between Dubas and his agent, and they were $4 million a year and 3 years apart. Like, that's not, it was them, not me. I'm sorry, I just didn't.
Ryan, real quick, I mean, I've been asking this. What do you think Dubas does? Because I think it's a tough thing. If they're going to still maintain, we have these guys here, our plan is to try to get as much out of them in the last years of their deal, so that we could try to win a Stanley Cup. Is that the right way to go at this point? Because I think it's very difficult to try to do both. It's try to difficult to stay with what you have and yet try to get younger and try to get better at the same time. To me, the best way is pick one and load up. Now, Carlson was to me is a load up, but it's the wrong piece. They needed to get tougher physically, I thought.
Right. They needed a guy up front like a Brock Boozer or a Miller or somebody like that. They could get in between the dots.
Right.
Things up. Nah, this wasn't like.
What do you do? I mean, how much does he have to play with here? I don't know.
I don't know, but I think they're in a delicate situation here, because I know everybody said, "Oh, Crosby's going to retire a Penguin." Okay, he did not take that Gensel trade very well. His reaction, his body language, was not very good. So I think that maybe was a dose of reality with him going into the extension window this summer. They have to figure out what they're doing, and probably, I'm guessing, behind the scenes, present it to him first. Yeah, the way I look at it. Because
all right, Ryan, I got to wrap it up, but I appreciate your call as always, man. Thank you too. Happy Easter out there to everyone listening. I do appreciate it. I want to say about the weather here, because this afternoon periods of rain, high of 56. It's not going to be a total washout here. In fact, there are open windows. Those of you who think about golfing, I'll raise my hand. Tonight, a passing shower. Otherwise, considerable cloudiness, low of 43. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, high of 60. Also want to tell you, coming up, It is the BetQL countdown to kickoff. We got doubleheader action today in the NCAA tournament. Illinois against UConn, Clemson against Alabama. Today at 3, it's Dan Zangrilli with the North Shore Tavern leadoff show, followed by the Pirates and the Marlins. Pirates are 2-0. Jared Jones, Major League debut. It's all right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Thank you, Joe Nelson. Thank you for calling, everybody. We'll see you again next Saturday right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.